Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And now we come to God's word this morning, and I just want to pray together. Father God, I pray that you will help me to share your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and empower this word. I pray that you will anoint it. I pray that it'll speak to hearts. It'll bring life to those who hear it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak this morning from the verse Romans 12 and 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Or as the Amplified version amplifies that, never lag in zeal, and in earnest endeavor, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. This morning I would like to talk about being stronger in the Spirit's anointing. I spoke about the Holy Spirit on numerous occasions. I've actually done consecutive months of teaching on the subject, so it's very difficult to condense all of that into a very short message this morning, but here goes. And I just want to break this verse up a little bit and apply it in three different ways. I want to say that where the Bible says, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, it has a personal application. And so I would be perfectly biblical and correct today if I were to ask you and if I were to ask me the question, are we aglow and burning with the Spirit? I don't know if you're eating your breakfast, sitting at your Sunday best, or trying to multitask around a number of situations. But that's a great question to ask and to answer today. Aglow is an interesting phrase. The Bible says that those who look to him are radiant. Just like the Lord Jesus, remember, in the Mount of Transfiguration, when his glory shone through and his face shone like the sun. It was also true of Moses when he was up the mountain in the presence of God. And I think that's a key, that when we live in the presence of God, that our faces can actually shine. And the Bible tells us that Moses actually had to put a veil over his face because that shining face, the Bible says, faded away. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that as we behold his glory, that we also are transfigured, just like the Lord Jesus, just like Moses. The glory of the Lord will shine upon us and through us. I've met people whose faces have literally shone with the glory of the Lord. I've met people years ago. I've read about people years ago, and I've met people up to this present time. In fact, when I started to preach and was very nervous, I remember an old pastor friend of mine said, when you preach, look for the person with the shining face. But I digress. Let's get back to this concept of a personal application. It's something that we must do as we work out our salvation. Salvation is obviously not something we do, it's something that's done for us. We celebrated communion a few moments ago, and we remembered what the Lord Jesus had done for us. But our ongoing walk is full of instructions of things that we must do. And the verse that we read is not the only verse. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, be filled with the Spirit. And if you've been along to Found Church for a number of years, you will have heard me say, as you will have heard people before me say, that this verse literally means be being filled. In other words, you've got to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible also tells us that God gives gifts to his children, but it also tells us to eagerly desire or covet earnestly spiritual gifts. And that's only the only time in the Bible that I know that we're told to covet anything. The Bible tells us that we've got to stir up the gift that's within us. It tells us that in 2 Timothy 1 and 6. And the Greek word there literally means bring life again to the fire. And so we've got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a personal application here. Nowadays, in some places, if you were to go and visit them, you will actually have a portable thermometer put on your head to see what your temperature is, to make sure that you do not have COVID-19. But I wonder what if a spiritual thermometer was put on our head. I wonder what that would look like. I wonder if it would read, devil watch out, this person is on fire. On the day of Pentecost, you will remember in Acts 2, and that Jewish feast, that there came, the Bible says, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house, and then there was tongues of fire came and separated and rested. And the Bible says there was a flame for every head. Every single one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues, other languages that they had not learned. It was a miracle. And I believe it set a pattern for that which was to come. In fact, I believe it speaking in tongues was the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, it tells us that over and over again in Acts 10. And then the explanation in Acts 11, for example, links it back to this experience in Acts 2, to the day of Pentecost. When Peter is given his testimony of what happened at Cornelius' household, he says the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the very beginning. And he links it back to John the Baptist's prophecy in Luke 3 and 16 about the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. I would say that it fits in with, although it doesn't necessarily say so, what happened in Acts 8 on the Samaritan Pentecost. But it certainly happened in Acts 19 about 20 years later to the Ephesian believers, where the Bible tells us that they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So why, if we are filled with the Spirit, would the Bible tell us and teach us to be aglow and burning with the Spirit? If we are full, surely we don't need to be filled again. Well, is that true? Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the disciples had many fillings. One baptism, we say, many fillings. Over and over and over again, they were filled, baptized with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And so people have said, and the old preachers, I like what they used to say, is that we need to be filled because we leak. There's a battle going on between the flesh and the Spirit that pulls us in different directions. We face challenges, we face difficulties, we face problems, disappointments, doubts, fears, bereavements, all kinds of things that can cause us to leak. And unlike the Lord Jesus, who the Bible says had the Spirit without limit, there's a capacity within us, it seems, that when distractions and all these different things come, that things can go on top of us. And instead of being above the circumstances, we can actually be underneath the circumstances. Instead of rising up on wings like eagles, we can be underneath the circumstances. And we need to be a bit like that viper when Paul landed in Malta. And remember, the viper crawled out of the sticks, that he shook it off. And there's a sense in our life in which we need to be able to shake off the viper bites of discouragement and doubt and depression. So how do we then remain topped up by the Spirit? Well, we need to be connected to the source. I, at the start of lockdown, with a number of other things that I had to do, I bought a new iPad. And I had my old iPad, I kept it, and it was sitting on top of my filing cabinet. And one day I went to take it and use it for something, and I noticed it had been drained of battery. And yet it had been filled with the battery. It had been full up of battery, it had been full of charge before. And then when I took it out, it had leaked. It had gone away. And there's a lesson in that. In fact, there's more than one lesson in that. But one of the lessons is we need to be connected to the source. And we need to remain connected to the source. We need to be plugged in. And that's not just a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but it's an ongoing, everyday experience. We need to spend time plugged into the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Reading our Bible, praying, maintaining a good confession, reading good books, living a life of obedience, maybe taking time to wait on God in solitude, appreciating the cathedral of nature, abiding in the vine, keeping ourselves in God's love according to Jude 21, and building ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. So the Bible tells us many ways in which we can get that topped up by the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues, the Bible says if we speak in tongues, we edify ourselves. And Jude says, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. And so when we build ourselves up, that edifying word, the original word, means to construct, to strengthen, to restore. And so it actually encourages our heart. Every believer has the Holy Spirit, but I believe there's more. I believe we can have that baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I believe we can have that continued filling with the Holy Spirit. Daniel Kalendi says, we pray in the Spirit when we connect with His presence, partner with His leading, and permit Him to empower our prayers. And he goes on to speak about allowing the Spirit of God to work through us. His feelings, His language to mesh with our feelings and with our language. There's great power when we pray in the natural with our own language that we know, English, but there's power in praying in the Holy Spirit as well. And when we run out of words, and the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit, bypasses our mind, and we connect with God, I believe that builds us up in the most holy faith and helps us to remain people that are full of the Spirit. Singing is also part of that. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit and speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing the great songs, new and old, like Paul and Silas when they were in prison, being able to sing in spite of the circumstances, praising before our breakthrough. What if we were to be able to intercede as well as praise with our spirit? What power that would bring in our life. Operating in faith is another key. In the book of Galatians, we find Paul correcting the Galatians, how they'd begun in the Spirit and they'd gone back into the flesh. And he asked them, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Galatians 3 and verse 2. And it's a power-packed passage. And there's something to be said for simply taking God at his word and moving in faith. In David Hathaway's latest prayer letter in July 2020, he says, my challenge is that instead of waiting for revival to come and obviously looking for someone else to bring it, I pray, then go out in faith to set it in motion by the power of the Holy Spirit. Revival is when the Holy Spirit acts in specific power. I've received the same Holy Spirit who led the apostles in the spiritual awakening of the early church. And as we move out in faith and step out in faith, I believe that God, it fills us up. As we go, as another amazing thing that happened, the Bible says, as the disciples went, God worked with them. So are we filled? Are we aglow? Maybe we're in a dry season. Maybe it's not the best season in our life. And just like we need water in the natural, and people say it's good to hydrate all the time, not just wait until you're dehydrated. But are we today people that are full of the Spirit? Are we drinking deeply? Are we drinking often? Are we drinking today? It has a personal application, this verse. We're told to be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Secondly, it has a powerful application. When the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, and he actually says to his disciples, wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. And he says, and you will receive power from on high. So in your head at this moment in time, say the word power, that God has promised to give you power from on high. That's an experience that many of the Old Testament saints had when the Holy Spirit came and anointed. That's why we're talking about stronger anointing. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, individuals, selected people, prophets, priests, kings, usually something powerful happened. You can see it in the ministries of Moses and what happened during the wilderness wandering, in Elijah, in Elisha, in the judges like Samson and Gideon, and prophecy happened, miracles happened, there was military prowess, there was divine wisdom. But these Old Testament prophets looked forward to a day when the Bible says when the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh, and Joel spoke about that. And then when Peter gave his sermon on the day of Pentecost, he referred back to that, and he says, these men are not drunk. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, sons and daughters. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams, both men and women. What an amazing verse. And Jesus, as I said, told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for power from on high. And he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Acts 1 and 8. And that's exactly what happened. In Acts 2, when the Spirit of God came on them, they were transformed from being cowards, waiting in an upper room, scared to go out. They were thrust forth into the street, and they witnessed it marvelously to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's been said the Acts of the Apostles happened because the Apostles acted. Thousands got saved. People were raised from the dead, people like Dorcas and Eutychus. There were predictive prophecies. There was spiritual transport, even supernatural transport for Philip. Many people healed, even by Peter's shadow going on them. Transference of healing through cloths, handkerchiefs, demons being cast out. marvelous, powerful things happened in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit. And this continued through the early church. Not only the ministries of Peter and Paul, but miracles are mentioned in most of the New Testament epistles. In Hebrews, it speaks about those who have shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted the heavenly gift, tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the age to come. One in Corinthians, Paul said that they didn't come behind in any spiritual gift. They didn't lack any. Galatians, which I've already mentioned, and James speaks about healing. Power, dunamis, from where we get the word dynamite. And there are, of course, people today who do not believe that that power is available for the church today. They think it was only for the early church. But I don't think that can be proved historically or biblically. David Allen's book, Dr. David Allen, The Unfailing Stream, shows and traces evidence of the miraculous power of God throughout church history. David Carndorf has got a book on Ireland's lost heritage. I studied a lot of this for my master's degree. Glory in the Glen by our own Tom Lenny in Scotland. Confidence Magazines of Old by A.A. Body, the Anglican vicar. Redemption Tidings, the early magazines of the Assemblies of God. The Ministry of Andrew Turnbull, the Apostolic Church. I could go on and on. Many, many books, many, many magazines listing many miracles and the power of God at work. Christ for All Nations and their regular communication speak often of amazing miracles happening in the world today. David Hathaway's magazine that I've mentioned, Contact Magazine, I mentioned at a prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago about somebody being raised from the dead. And that was a mission that began through W.P.F. Burton. And his book, Signs Following, is also another great book to read. I've seen God's power at work in my own life. I remember the day that my wife was crippled with back pain and prayed for her. And it wasn't even a holy moment. We're just taking our sandwiches. And she said, Michael, you need to pray for me. My back's in agony. And the Spirit of God just touched Diane at that moment. And she never had it since. I remember a lady coming into church here one night. And her arms were turned inward. Her fingers, turned inwardly. And we prayed for her in the name of Jesus. And the power of God came on her. And our hands opened. I remember another lady coming in bent double. A lady from the very Broomage area here, coming in one night, and in the name of Jesus, this woman walked out straight. I remember Andrew used to play our piano. He was a doctor, a medical doctor, and he had a broken foot, a broken bone, and God healed him in the meeting. And so, whether it's outward in our community, and I've seen it happen in our community, I've seen even God heal people in our dentist's surgery in the office there. I remember one day getting the opportunity to pray for somebody, lay hands on them, and this person was healed. And later on, a few years later, I said to my dentist, who's this lady today who's helping you? And she said, that's a lady that you prayed for, and God healed her. And I think today, even John Daniel, among our midst, is a walking miracle. So it is a personal application. It is a powerful application that we would be filled with the Spirit. And it has a purposeful application. It's for serving the Lord. It's a purpose. You know, we're called to a cause and not to a couch. God wants people to do His work by His power, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And what the Holy Spirit can do through an individual is amazing. God has graced His church with amazing spiritual gifts, grace gifts, tools, if you like, to get the work done until that which is perfect is come, until the Lord Jesus returns again. And there are many spiritual gifts. Peter Wagner, in his book, Your Spiritual Gifts Can Cause Your Church to Grow, lists 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 8-10 has 9 more of the more spectacular gifts. Romans 12, 6-9 has less spectacular gifts. Ephesians 4 has ministry gifts. 1 Peter has gifts. I've just finished reading the book for a second time, God's Generals. And there are people there, and they had their flaws. Yes, they had feet of clay, like many of us. But there's no denying the amazing things that God did through these people. Helped thousands upon thousands of people. And it is still happening today. Friends, I would like to see more in my life, and I'm sure you would in yours. But we want to see a greater anointing. I was speaking to a colleague of mine just a few weeks ago, in fact, last week, and he was telling me about his daughter who had an allergy and a food intolerance. And he says, during lockdown, she's been dramatically healed. And he told me that his granddaughter had been dramatically healed, you know, of gluten intolerances. God is able to do amazing things. But it's not about us. It's about him. It's about serving him. It's about exalting him. And usually when there's miracles and lives transformed, we give the glory to God. So are we serving Jesus? You know, God wants everybody to serve. We are saved to serve. And maybe even today you are here and you've never...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.